Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, February the 7th, 2016.
Good morning, all. Want to make sure you check out the bulletin. Make sure that visitors in particular check out that info card. We'd love to get some information about you so that we can stalk you. No, we won't do that. We just want to make sure that we get you some information about us, and thank you for coming, and because we are really glad to have you here. But for everybody, we know that there's plenty of things that we need to be praying for you, and so that's why we've got that little please pray for at the bottom of that. So if you would, fill that out, whatever the prayer need might be, and we want to be praying for you as a staff and deacons and others. And if you'll fill that out, put it into the offering plate at the end of the service, we'll make sure to pray about those things, and we can contact you and let you know that we've been doing that as well. But good to have all of you here. I think many of you were here last week, and we just had such a great experience in worship and learning from God's Word how to praise, what His Word says about praise. And we had comments all week long about the experience that we had here and what it was that we learned. And what we've been praying as a staff and others is that that wouldn't be a one-time experience, that as we learn what it means to praise, that we would carry that into everything that we do here every Sunday, but not just here, in all of life, as we go about talking to others and we have our own personal time with the Lord and family time, that we would praise Him. Praise Him in freedom in the ways that He's called us to do that. So as we praise, as we enter into a time of kind of corporate praise together, I'm going to pray for us, but I pray that we would be led by the Spirit and we would worship, as we talked about, from our wills, doing what God has called us to do. And this would be another just wonderful, passionate time of being able to praise Him for what He has done in us and through us and continues to do, and simply for who He is. So let us pray together. Father, it is great to be in this place together with other believers. So as we gather here and we enter into this time that we often just call worship, I pray that You will be worshiped, that You will be praised. God, that we will set aside difficulties of the week, but even praise You in the midst of those, and praise You for how You've used us, praise You for how You have grown us, and praise You for who You are. And God, I pray that this would be a time that You are praised and honored and glorified, but also a time that You call us to live more like the way that You designed us to live. So Lord, may You be praised, honored, and glorified in all that we do today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, Pastor Ben. I want to, just before we get into our praise and worship time, I want to recognize a special couple this morning. So I'm going to ask Don and Jesse Sandberg if they would come down to the platform with me. It's been my privilege to serve alongside Don and Jesse for many years, over 21 years since I've been here, but really longer than that, because Don was actually one of my professors in college back in the early 80s. And a few weeks ago, they told me that they were going to have to step down out of choir, and it was time for some younger voices to take their place. And I want actually to honor them this morning, but not just for the time that they spent in choir, but I want to make you aware that they have been a vital part of this ministry here at Grace for many, many years, music ministry. And, of course, Jesse was on staff here at Grace with the women's ministry and counseling and in teaching. And Don, many of you may or may not know this, but Don was actually music minister years ago, back in the early 80s, I think. And then right before I came here, they had about a year without a music pastor, and Don stepped in and filled in for those times as well. What you don't see is that Don helped me a lot behind the scenes. He was very instrumental in helping me with organizing music and choir things and orchestra things, creative ideas, and just kind of talking me through things and mentoring me along the way. And they've done that for many, many others. So I want to thank you guys from the music ministry and also the entire church this morning for your faithfulness and dedication through the years, knowing that God's not finished with you yet, because we know He's got things for you to do here as well at Grace. You're such an encouragement and have been such an encouragement and mentor along the way to many people, known and unknown along the way. So with that, I want to say that you're an inspiration as we look at praise and worship as well. And I've seen you guys passionately worship the Lord over the years. And so I want to say thank you for that. And here's just a little small token of our appreciation to you this morning. So I want to pray with them real quick. Lord, we thank you so much for Don and Jesse and their faithfulness to this ministry as a whole. I thank you personally for their involvement in the music ministry. I thank you that, as I said, you're not done with them yet, and we look forward to the inspiration that they continue to be with us here at Grace. For we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, we had a wonderful Sunday last week, as Pastor Ben said. You can remain standing, that's fine. We're looking at the word of praise and really the freedom that we have to praise the Lord and praise Him with all our heart and all our being. So I hope, as he said a minute ago, as the Spirit leads, you just feel free to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Come, let us sing.
Sing to the King who is come.
Jesus is
Be seated.
Yeah.
confidence that we can go out and reach the world because of what we sang about a minute ago, because our God is mighty to save. He goes before us. We shouldn't have fear. We have the opportunity to go and reach the world. Would you stand with me as we continue to sing? I taught the congregation this song last Sunday night. And I love this song, lyrics in it, but I hope it encourages this morning that it is because of Him that we can praise Him. But we can, like I said, He goes before us. Jesus, only Jesus is the one that can save. Who has the power to raise the dead? Jesus, only Jesus.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that sets us free? He paid it all to bring us peace.
Time that we've had to praise you and worship you, we recognize that you are the only one that is worth our praise. So to that end, we say thank you with grateful hearts. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You and I might spend about 70 to 80 years on this earth. Not long when you consider the timeline of eternity. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? Every day we get bombarded with the message to pursue the things of this world. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well. More, 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 and me, me, me. That's the prevailing message of our day. Our generation has a hijacked version of the American dream. But as Christians, we know deep down this distorted view of life isn't real life. We read what the Bible teaches and we see how Jesus lived. Every day we face a choice: to pursue the me, me, me mindset of the American dream, or to pursue Christ. What if this generation was willing to trade in the pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ? To be traders. A trader is a new kind of missionary, not defined by geography. Where you live doesn't make you a missionary. The mission you're on makes you a missionary. Being a trader is a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. As a trader, we must choose daily to sacrifice and be intentional with our time, money, and skills. We can be like the Good Samaritan in the parable. When we're on the road of life and see someone in need, we choose to help. We follow Jesus' instructions to go and do likewise. A trader must hate injustice and find specific ways to bring the hope found in Jesus to desperate situations. It's easy to identify what you hate. What makes your heart break and your fists clench? A trader sees work as worship. Everything you do in life, including your job, can be an opportunity to worship the God who created you. Because God is glorified when we use our God-given passions and skills with excellence. And finally, a trader must act swiftly, because the time is right now. The result of all this would be a generation of traders who are making choices with their time, money, and passions that are kingdom-focused and not self-focused, so that our short time here can have an eternal impact.
Good morning, Grace. We are continuing in this Gather, Grow, Go series that is really about kind of our vision and mission and strategy. And we've had just a couple of what I think have been wonderful weeks talking about Gather. And we talked about a little bit of the philosophy and all of those things that we do as a church to gather and those things that go into it. And last week, as I mentioned this morning and Fred touched on, we had this incredible time of praise that I've seen continue into today as we gather to worship and praise our Savior, our Creator, the one who allows us even to come in and to praise Him. And so now we continue on in this series, and we're going to enter into a couple of weeks talking about go. And that's what this introductory video is about, that it's this idea of being a trader, not a traitor, but a trader, trading in the things that the world says that we are supposed to do and who we're supposed to be and what this life is supposed to be about for what God says it's supposed to be about. And so we're going to talk about go because that's what it's really about. And that includes sending and supporting missionaries, something this church is so passionate about, and I am myself. And so it's exciting to see those kinds of things happen. And that's not just the 72 mission families that we have around the world that we have sent and supported, but that includes us as a church, those of us from this congregation who go on short-term trips as well. And so I wanted to bring up Camilla to talk about our recent trip that our women took to the Dominican Republic, a great example of what it means to go internationally.
It was 3 weeks ago this morning that your ambassadors gathered on this beautiful beach before worshiping with our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic. And worship we did. We lifted our voices in singing in Spanish, which was a trick for some of us, with the band, praise team, and church in San Pedro. We heard the gospel clearly proclaimed by Pastor Gary Hale. It was translated through a transmitter by Diana. You recognize her here. What a joy it was to worship that same God, but in a different language. Before that day, we had worked some pretty exhausting days. But it was a good exhaustion. We spent time at the La Palme School that now has 437 students. As we got a chance to talk to the teachers and to the administrators, we got a sense that they were on a mission to teach those children the truths of God's Word in their every action and deed. They are needing teachers that know English. Would you be willing to go? What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome opportunity. What a joy it was to see this incredible ministry in action. Then we hit the ground running. We cleaned, sorted, baked, scrubbed, sewed, sweated, really sweated. We all had jobs and we loved it. Some worked at the workshop, some worked at the church. Everyone was busy and we accomplished so much. On Saturday, we were able to spend an entire day at the brand new beautiful Mercy Center, a place where women will spend their first days and nights when coming off the streets of prostitution and human trafficking. I think we all stood in absolute awe when we first walked onto that property. What God had built was just incredible. But we didn't stay still long. We had a lot to do. All day we worked, and we sweated some more. At the end of the day, we circled around that building, praying and pleading before God for great and mighty things in that place. Then we went inside and we prayed for Allie and her leadership team. They are projecting a March 1 opening of this Mercy Center. Praise the Lord. Great things He has done, is doing, and is going to do in that place. I decided to throw in this picture. This is probably one of my favorite. This is Gary Hale and Doug Hodges standing on a parcel of vision land that has been designated for Hodges Hospitality. This is a place where short-termers can stay when they visit the DR. It's a dream that is still to be built. This picture was taken several hundred feet away, and I zoomed in as far as I could on my iPhone. It's not the best of pictures, but it reminds me to pray. Would you join me in praying for the Daystar leadership team as they dream, seek God's face, and work through the vision for this incredible ministry? Well, every morning I would get up in time to see the sunrise. A few other ladies did too, just a few. It was beyond beautiful. But in my heart, it was like a dichotomy. Here was a light coming over the horizon in a country that is known worldwide as a place where people are used and abused every single day. I think of Job 24:16, where it says, "People do not know the light." As the light shone so beautifully every morning, I was reminded that Jesus is the light of the world, and oh, how the Dominicans need to know that light. Thank you, church family, for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us in so many ways. We have seen firsthand a church, a school, a workshop, a mercy center, and hardworking missionaries shining a light brightly in a very dark place. I can speak for the group, knowing we will never be the same. We will pray with fervency for this ministry. We will continue to support it, and we will watch for even more opportunities in our circle of life right here to be a light. We truly are grace women, blessed beyond measure, because we had the opportunity to go.
Thanks, Camilla. Let's go ahead and pray over that ministry now. Lord, I just praise you for the women from this church who decided to go, who you called to go to the Dominican, and I pray that they continue to go here in this community as well. You know, we lift up, too, just thinking of Bobby Struthers still recovering from injury on that trip, and just praise you that she's able to be home and recovering well and to be here with us as well. But Lord, we pray for the ministry. We pray for the Hales, for others who are involved there to reach into such a dark, dark world that so few of us ever really experience. And God, we pray that they would reach in there with your light, and it would shine brightly in that darkness to rescue women, to bring healing, and to bring mercy. God, bless them, give them vision, and we pray your provision on them as well. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. As we think about go, we have some of these short-term trips that we talk about, but you don't have to leave the country. You don't have to leave the state. You barely have to, well, really, you don't even have to leave your home sometimes for these missional efforts to go. It includes serving right here in our local community. And there are so many ways that we as a church partner in doing that. And so we as a church will have events where we will go out into the community, and others where we're going to invite people from the community into our church and onto our campus so we can reach them. And that's been happening here for years, and we're not going to stop that. So you don't have to go overseas to be missional. Go really doesn't have to be anything all that radically different from your everyday life as it is right now. At least not what you do every day. The real difference when we think about go, the real difference comes in how you do things that you're already doing. Places that the Lord has already put you. It's a shift in how we view everything in life. And we're talking about, as we saw in the video, we're talking about living missionally. Rethinking how we view and perceive and we do life at home, at work, in our neighborhoods, at school, wherever it might be, at the grocery store, in restaurants, and so on, wherever the Lord might take us. And that's really how we're meant to live as Christians, thinking about that mission all of the time. And the Holy Spirit indwells us to give us the strength to do that, because none of you in here is strong enough to do that on your own. I've heard it said, too, that the people have come and visited the United States and said it's amazing what Christians in the United States can do without the Holy Spirit. And that's sad, because we desperately need the Spirit to lead us in these things. But honestly, living in this missional way, seeing every part of life, not just what we do as a congregation altogether, that's a really foreign concept, I think, to most people. because it's so easy to get distracted by all of the things of this world and the things that we do every day. And the interesting thing is we get distracted by so many things of the world. It's those distractions that are sometimes incredible opportunities to go and to live missionally. We just haven't thought about them in the right way. We don't always have that kind of kingdom and eternal perspective and mindset. And we get wrapped up in the temporal, the here and now, and we get wrapped up in the thing itself, the thing that we're doing or the thing that we like or want. We get wrapped up in that thing rather than how we can use that thing or that event or that opportunity to spread the gospel, to become grace in this world. And that's where your church comes in. We're called as a local church to go. And that's both as a whole congregation and as individuals from this congregation. And we provide then as a church, we provide opportunities to go, and we support and we send people as they go, and we train everyone. All of us in here, we are called to train one another to live missionally. And that's a really, really big job, and it's a very important job. And that's why we've moved Mike Swanson over. He's been working very kind of mostly for the school and some for the church for several years now. Well, we've pulled him now officially into mainly working here in the church as our go pastor, still our executive pastor, still has some roles in the school as well. And most of you know Mike's background. Mike has been a part of this church for a long time, and he is one of the few people, maybe the only one, I think, on staff right now who has also been a deacon at one point and served in just in the regular work world like most of us here do. And did that well, and I believe did that for the Lord. But at one point, the Lord just put a call on he and Joan and their family to go to Hungary, where they went and spent a decade there serving in ministry and leading there. And then he and his family, they were called back here, back to what had been home. And they came back and began to serve again in this church, and this time serving in the church staff and the school staff. And then they've been doing that for about 6 years now. So I've asked Mike if you want to come on up, Mike. I've asked him to come up for kind of an interview in front of all of you. This is not an interview for the job. He's got it. He's in. He's been here already. And it would be kind of horrible if I said, hey, staff, we're going to interview you every once in a while if you want to keep your job.
Ah.
So, yeah, we're not going to do that part. But I wanted to give him kind of an interview. You can have a seat if you want there, Mike. It's okay to walk in front of me. Right. But I wanted to kind of interview him about what it means to go. And what his vision is for that ministry here, and how he's gonna be leading us here at Grace. So we'll dive right into this. And so as we talk about kind of transforming how we go about our daily lives to be missional, it's a really easy thing to say. I get up here and I say it, and I wish that it was I get up here and say it and we all start doing it, including myself, but it's a lot easier said than done. So how does that really work? How do we go in ordinary life?
Well, you know what would be good, Pastor, if we had another simple little video like you started off with that would kind of explain that to us.
It'd be great. It'd be really helpful, but I can't imagine you could ever find something like that.
Just keep watching.
Oh, okay. Let's check this out.
This is missional community. Simple. Bob is the owner of the local hobby shop and president of the Remote Control Airplane Club. Each Wednesday after work, the members of the Airplane Club get together to race, share in the joy of airplanes, compare designs, and to pass on the knowledge of model airplanes to their kids and grandkids. Bob goes to a church service with his sister on Christmas Eve and decides to become a Christian. He regularly attends Sunday services, finds his way into a small group, and joins the Wednesday night church gathering. He realizes that his commitment to church programs and his commitment to the Airplane Club are at odds. The church leadership empathizes with the situation but tell him it'd be better to attend the Wednesday program rather than spend time building airplanes. The church leadership also encourages Bob to get more involved in the church, leaving no time for airplanes. Bob agrees. Giving up a silly hobby will be his sacrifice for the Lord. Eventually, Bob's friends begin wondering what happened to him. In their minds, he was a critical part of the model airplane community. When they'd wander into his hobby shop, they'd ask, "What happened to you? We miss you." Bob begins to realize that he's becoming an outsider to all the conversations, significant or otherwise, that always unfolded during their Wednesdays together. Bob explains that he'd found something more important than model airplanes, and he even offers an invitation to the Wednesday night church meeting. Some of the airplane club try out his church because they respect and love Bob. But a lot of them decide not to go because they value the time together with family and friends on Wednesday evenings. After some time, Bob becomes a key leader in the church and hears his call to go and reach those people he knew from the club. Since giving up the regular meeting with the club, his interaction feels more difficult than he'd imagined. After all, Bob, their leader, left them for what seemed to be just another club on Wednesday evenings. Somewhat troubled, Bob decides to take a break from Wednesday night church gatherings and re-enter the world of model airplanes. Some in the church were deeply concerned for Bob's spiritual well-being. Others were disgruntled. Then someone asked the question, "What if we resource Bob to be even more effective at building healthy community where he already is? Let's help him to better live out more of Jesus' heart for compassion, generosity, peace, and love among people that know him best. After all, Bob is the most likely access point for those people to encounter Jesus." The church agrees. Bob's church is now determined to help him follow Jesus and assist him in living out his faith in the community that had been built around him. Bob now sees both his dedication to his church and to the model airplane community as critical components in following Jesus.
Seeing that simple video, simple presentation, brings Matthew 28 to mind, and you're familiar with these verses. It says, "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you.'" Now, I've heard that "go, therefore" translated "as you are going," and kind of carries with it the idea that as you are going through life, make disciples. In the daily activities, be intentional about the things you are doing and make disciples in that way. So a big part of my job is to go pastor, as the go pastor, and our job as a church is to help equip people to go, to equip them in being intentional in the making of disciples.
Okay, so how is Grace going to do that? How will we equip people to go?
Well, I think there's a number of ways that we could do that, and I certainly don't pretend to know all of those, and I'd like to take this opportunity to just mention that if there are ideas and things out there that people would have used and think are good, I invite you to call me, to email me, to come by my office. Let me know about those things so we can begin to try to incorporate some of those things. But that being said, there's, I think, as I see it, three main areas, training, resourcing, and mentoring. The first, training. And some ideas that we already are beginning to pursue and have been doing are Crossroads. We want to continue our Bible study series that we've been doing in Crossroads, but also we want to expand that into subjects that will help prepare and equip people in disciple making. One Crossroads class that's currently being developed is that on apologetics that would give some people some good resources and knowledge that will help them as they have discussions with others. But there's others that we want to offer, and perhaps even on other times besides Wednesday nights. But there are other things out there that we can use in training. Crew has a number of different evangelistic tools that they use and training that they can provide. Some of you are familiar with Evangelism Explosion. They've updated that, and it's a tried and true method. There's also relational training that is just teaching people how to reach other people through their daily lives and through the everyday relationships that we all have. Additionally, we want to add some training and some aspects of training to the missions conference, as well as the ministry fair that we held a couple years ago that we'll be reviving very soon. So that's training, but we also want to resource. I think you'll find out in the foyer this morning on the general church area, we have some new invitation cards. These are just simple cards you can put in your pocket. There's a smaller business card version of it as well that you can just hand to people, and it's just an invitation to come visit Grace, find out what it's about. It's got all the basic information on the back, including a map and the different times that the church services are. So you can grab some of these, carry them with you, and as you have opportunities, you can hand them out to people. That's one thing. We have the track rack that we've had for a number of years, and those have a number of different types of tracks. We encourage you to grab those, take those with you. There are also some apps, a number of things that you can have on your phone, have on your tablet, that as God gives you opportunities, you'll be able to use those in sharing the gospel with other people, just in your everyday life. Some of you have gone through and are familiar with the good soil training that ABWE has developed a few years ago. Wayne Haston was the primary developer of that. And that's a fantastic way to take people through the Bible and share with them God's love for them in a very organized way. And Solarium is another one that was put out by the Crew people and Campus Crusade. And we have some examples of that, some samples of that that you can look at. And it's just a very practical, simple way that you can sit down with people and begin to have conversations that can lead to spiritual discussions. So resourcing is the second one. And then finally, mentoring. I know there's a number of people that are very good at getting out and sharing the gospel with other people and would be more than happy to have you, me, any of us come along with them and kind of learn from a mentor who can show us how they do it, and we can begin to learn to use effective ways of sharing the gospel with other people.
Yeah, and my next series, too, is going to, it's really walking through how Jesus taught people and really how he mentored those around him, and so we'll learn a little bit about it then. Also found out this weekend, as you talk about relational evangelism, kind of reaching people through relationships, a guy named Dan Nichols, are many of you familiar with Dan? Church planter in Pennsylvania. You may have heard about, he's come and spoken at the school, and the youth, they're going to be doing a mission trip to go and work with his church plant this summer. Very excited about that trip because it's really one of our first steps in kind of setting up a more strategic partnership and helping to reach people there. Well, what he does in reaching people and doing the church planting, there's a lot of just relationship building that's involved in that. He is planning to be here. We're kind of working on this now, but planning to be here toward the end of May, and we're going to be looking at some training opportunities that would come then. But I do remember that you promised, or rather I promised that you would, provide us some training for the Super Bowl, because, you know, that's tonight, and a lot of us are going to be hanging out with people that may have never darkened the doors of a church in their life. So, have you got some training for us?
Well, as I started looking around, there are some things online. There are a number of different organizations that put together Super Bowl packages. They're mostly developed for large groups, or they're designed to take a group of people to where the Super Bowl is being held and to be involved in evangelism there. Pastor turned that down as we tried to develop the budget to take most of the church to San Francisco, so we're not doing that one. But I did find a number of other things, and we do have some things available in the foyer today. There's a pamphlet called Relational Evangelism and Why It Works. Just something quick that we put together and something we want to develop even more. But it's got a number of reasons. It's an article that a gentleman wrote why relational evangelism works. But there's also some starter questions, simple questions that can be used to help start spiritual discussions that are on the back that I found very helpful. And then there's also some email addresses for other resources that can help you as an individual. So we have those individual cards, those lists of questions, but also we like to do some training. And right now, we thought we'd do a little role play that can give you an example of how you might use this.
No!
Terrible!
All right. What a game, guys. That was awesome. We're so glad you guys came. Oh, and wow. Y'all want to come meet again next week, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. We look forward to it. Hey, Jimmy, good to meet you.
Nice
Marcia, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Glad you came tonight.
I'll buy you dinner next week.
Oh, no, we're good.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you.
Hey, really good hanging out with you guys. Got to do it again if you can handle the weird on this end.
We got
together
it.
Sometime.
We got
good
it.
To meet you guys.
Thank you.
They were so nice. Thanks for inviting us, Jeff. We are so glad you could meet our other friends finally.
You mean they all go to church?
Every Sunday.
Yep.
Are they always like that?
Like what?
It's just that they seem so normal.
Like...
Well, okay.
Yeah, normal like me, right?
Drew, I wouldn't go as far as to say you're normal, but
yeah, okay.
I was comfortable around them.
We both were. I'm so glad that we just had time to hang out, just all of us together. It was fun.
Well, Jimmy, you know, we meet every Sunday here, and we hang out, chips, and talk about the Word of God, and we'd love to have you and Marcia to come back.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we may have to take you up on that. Church, who'd have thought?
Yeah, you'll love it.
The cool thing is, I mean, it really can be just as simple as that. I mean, just having little conversations. So I'm glad we've got this pamphlet here that has some other ideas for conversation starters. And it's just a little bit of an intentionality in trying to turn a conversation to, hey, come back, we do this again. Just intentionally saying, it was good to have you with this group. And you never know what may come from those kind of things. And it may be, you know, you go and you invite one of those folks out, say, hey, good to hang out with you. Let's go grab a bite to eat later this week. It's just a way to kind of get those relationships started and to turn them toward the church. Or if the Lord leads in this way that it's something you can do, then you turn it toward the gospel. But we know, too, that as we're getting out with the world, I mean, they don't live necessarily the same way as the church. So what concerns and issues come to mind when you're inviting people over for an event like this?
Well, I think that any time we're going to be rubbing shoulders with non-believers, we have to be careful not to expect them to act as anything different than non-believers. And I think we have some good examples biblically to look at. It's clear that Jesus didn't hesitate to rub shoulders with all kinds of people. And it seems that he really didn't expect them to somehow get themselves cleaned up or start acting right before he was going to begin spending time with them. And so he just met people where they are. And I think that similarly, we've got to understand that, and that if we're going to intentionally spend time with neighbors, coworkers, other acquaintances, we've got to be ready to accept people where they are. It could get a little uncomfortable at times for some, and we've got to recognize that these are people, though, that God loves, people that Christ died for, and that we have the opportunity to show that same love.
So as you look around the community, because it's not just about those relationships that we have as individuals, but what are some big needs and opportunities for outreach that you see here in the community now?
Well, again, I claim to be any kind of expert on that, but I think as I look around, that people seem to be looking for community, seem to be looking for fellowship, as well as opportunities just to learn some new things. I think that creates opportunities for us to be able to provide some of the things that they're looking for, and maybe in a number of different ways. I think one of these ways is going to be by adding some additional types of Crossroad classes.
Okay, so what is your vision for that Crossroads ministry to be more missional?
Well, I think there's a lot we can do. We've got many parents that are bringing children to Awana every Wednesday night, which gives us the great opportunity to connect with these people through maybe different kinds of Crossroad classes. By expanding and varying these class offerings, I think we can greatly enhance the opportunities that we have for making those connections with our community. And perhaps there are simple classes, and some of these we've done before, but things like photography, finance and budgeting, marriage, parenting, or even a class in computer basics, I think are some offerings we could have. And I think that list is much bigger than what I just gave. I think as we look towards the future, we even have the opportunity of the proposed Grace Fitness Center, a facility on the back part of the property that would allow us to bring people in, offer things like Zumba classes. Did I say that right? Zumba? Zumba? I've never been to one, but Zumba Master. But do some things like that would be inviting to the community in general, begins to give us opportunities to create those relationships and that can be leveraged for the sake of the gospel. I think visitation teams, just getting out and visiting people that have stopped by to visit Grace, as well as new residents and other things like that, putting together teams that would do that will also give us connections. Another way, this is a little bit radical perhaps for some, but it would be considering replacing VBS with a Bible-themed or Bible-teaching sports camps. Probably not something we do this summer, but it's something that's very unique. And God has given us fantastic facilities here with which we could do something like that that would be not something that every other church is doing. We have a lot of people, and I'm always surprised that stop by the church office on a regular basis that are just benevolence needs. And putting together a package, a box of some things that we can hand to them and have an opportunity just to talk to them when they come by and help them out, I think, is another ministry that gives us another touch, another opportunity to meet people where they are. And then something that pastors mentioned before, just a ministry of letting people know Grace is here. We're here and that we care, and we have these things that we want to do for them and be involved in their lives that way. And then lastly, and again, there's probably many more ideas, but pastor has mentioned this before as well, getting involved in some of the local area public schools, doing something, programs that may help those students out, and giving us connections with parents and students that way, I think is another area which we can expand on.
Yeah, so even with the training that we're talking about and some of these opportunities, it can be tough to just kind of dive right into missional living. It is different than what most of us do, I think. So, and there are some folks, I mean, to think about us, we work with all Christians, and so we have a little bit more limited access, many of us, to non-believers and just those kinds of relationships with the unchurched. So what are some of the missional things that we're going to do as a congregation that people can plug into right now?
Well, I'm glad you asked. There are, as we had the ministry fair a couple years ago, we were introduced to a number of different organizations, many of which people took advantage of and continue to do that. Things like Choices and LifeSpring, and there's other partner organizations that people can plug into that are going to put them into contact with unbelievers on a more regular basis, and if they're not already in their workplace and in their jobs. Some of you may not know, but we have an ongoing relationship, or at least a number of the men in the congregation do, with Walker County Prison. There's guys that go down on a regular basis and do one-on-one mentoring. That's definitely going to put you into contact with people that are likely non-believers. And
wait, you're saying that we have guys who go to prison on a regular basis here?
We do. We okay. do. Some of them are in the room right now, I think.
All right.
Yeah. So that's, again, another great opportunity. The ministry fair that we plan to have again this year, hopefully we can explore some new possible relationships and opportunities for people to get involved with. The video, I think, was fantastic because it was driving home the fact that there are things that we're involved in our life on a day-in, day-out basis that we don't normally think of as ministry. But if we're intentional and about using those connections, about using those relationships, God can use those in some fantastic ways. And I think we need to, go back to the training, go back to the resourcing, and then just helping us all recognize and understand that God can use those in some wonderful ways.
So is Go only about what we're doing individually?
No, not at all. Go, or missional living, is something that we do as individuals. I think we all recognize that. But it's also something we do as a body.
So how do we do that?
Well, the way I see it breaks down into two categories. One, doing, and the other, sending and supporting. And you've already talked about that a little bit this morning. Acts 1:8 says that, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That talks about us doing ourselves and the power that God is going to give us to enable us to do those things. But also in Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And as we think about grace and the missions, again, as you've already alluded to, we've done a wonderful job about sending and supporting, and we need to keep doing that. So we can be active locally, nationally, and globally, as well as sending and supporting locally, nationally, and globally. Being active locally, the ministry fair, again, those are opportunities for us to get involved and to be active. Church events, as we've already talked about some, the 4th of July and other opportunities that the church has to either go out or to bring people in, give us each individually opportunities to be involved in those. When we think about globally, we just heard a fantastic example this morning about the ladies who went to the Dominican Republic. But there are other trips as well and opportunities to be involved. There's a Norway trip coming up where a couple of our members will be involved in. Over the years and perhaps in the future, Hungary with ESL. So those types of things continue to give us each individually opportunities to be involved. But we also send the support locally, again, with these organizations. We have a long-standing relationship with Choices, both with people being involved, but also our financial support. I think that LifeSpring is another opportunity that we've done, and there are others that people give to and the church gives to collectively. Nationally and globally, Faith Promise Missions. We have done very well at that, but we need to continue to do that and even expand that. And that's been our primary means for supporting missionaries both in the U.S. and abroad. And I think that one of the things that we have the opportunity with both locally as well as globally and nationally, besides the financial support we give, is the opportunity to encourage and celebrate. Wasn't it great when we had the Choices presentation just a couple of weeks ago, and we were able to hear and see about things that God's doing there and to encourage that ministry and to celebrate with them. Missions Conference, when we have that come around each year, we're able to have some missionaries in, we're able to hear about what God's doing in all different parts of the world, and we're able to celebrate with them and encourage. And so that's, I think, another way that we as a church collectively can get involved in that.
It does seem like a huge task, though, to be going ourselves every day, and then, but even just trying to support, like I said, what, 72 supportive missionary families that we've got, to support them, and then for us as a church and individuals to keep up with all of them, it's a big deal. So how can we make missionary care and local involvement more manageable?
Well, it's a big task, and I do want to say I think our missions committee has done a great job at that, but I think we can do even better. I think we can get more coordinated, get better coordinated. And there's just a few ideas, and again, I think there are more as we continue to develop this, but one is with Sunday school classes and our Grace small groups, for them to adopt missionaries individually, missionary care groups, and I think it's an idea that we've had in the past, and we can redevelop that. With a commitment to regularly pray for those missionaries specifically, to make sure the missions committee is informed on different things that are going on with those missionaries, and just have that regular contact, even with phone or Skype or Facebook, FaceTime messages with that small group or that class, is a tremendous way to keep in contact with those individual ministries. I think classes and groups can adopt also a local ministry or outreach, and perhaps have volunteer work groups together, where work days together, where that small group or Sunday school class goes out and helps that local ministry. They're not intended to replace some of the things that we're doing individually, but I think it collectively can help us get better involved with those ministries and missionaries.
Okay, but that seems like a lot to put on to already busy teachers and small group facilitators who are preparing lessons and then also working during the week.
That's true, and we don't want to dump all that on those individual teachers and small group facilitators, but I think one of the ideas that we have is to have go leaders. That could be an individual or small group of people within that class, within that small group, who will take on this task and will be assigned that task. They can do outreach planning and service day planning, and it, like I said, it could be one people, it could be a group of people, and the vision is to have a go leader or a go group in each one of our class, and maybe even having a representative of that be involved in the missions committee going forward.
So how are we going to recruit all of these go leaders in the classes and small groups?
Well, I think one of the primary ways will be those plug-in cards that you keep begging people for each Sunday. On the back of that, they can check off that they're interested in working that, but would be even better than that if people necessarily didn't wait to get asked. They came and saw you or saw me or talked to Paul with the missions committee and said, hey, that's something great. I'd like to be involved in that, because it's going to take a lot of people, and it's a lot of work for the church staff, and I certainly can't do it myself, but it's going to take that team of people doing all those things together to really pull this thing off.
So we've covered a ton of stuff here already today, and honestly, it does, I think, for many of us, including myself, it can seem a little overwhelming. So, I mean, are we talking about completely changing how we live to the point where we pretty much do nothing but go out and serve all the time?
No, I think not at all. And again, if I could refer to that short video, it's really about taking the things that we do on a regular daily basis and being more intentional about what we're doing, and more intentionally as far as looking for those opportunities, asking God to show us those opportunities, to be intentional about relational evangelism and using those opportunities for His glory. I think we need to ask ourselves a few questions. How can we use the hobbies and work and in the places which God has already put us to be an ambassador? And Camilla was talking about the ambassadors that we sent to the Dominican Republic. And that verse that comes to mind is in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. If we recognize our job as ambassadors and what that really means as representatives, and think about that on a day-in, day-out basis in whatever we're involved in, I think we'll make a big difference. I think we take some of the time that we'd normally scheduled for fellowship, and we can find ways to go serve with some of that time. Also, taking some of that time to pray, specifically pray for missions and for the people that we're coming into contact with. I think we need to discover how we can leverage the credibility that we have with our contacts, with those people we work with those people that are neighbors, and how can we leverage that credibility for the sake of the gospel. I think in short, we're just simply really talking about being more intentional about how we do what we're already doing.
Well, I love the direction you've got for the Go ministry, and I really am excited to have you at the helm of that, and somebody who's really giving some leadership there, in addition to especially Paul Snyder, the missions committee, and so many others who have already been leading in that direction. So I think it's just going to be a great team there. So I appreciate you doing that and having you up here. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
So now we've got this kind of more detailed plan for Go, and there's a lot more that's going to come up with that in the future, you know, as this kind of develops here. But what are you as individuals, as families, what are you going to do about it? What is it that maybe the Lord is laying on your heart when it comes to Go, to being missional? And then not just what is he laying on your heart, but here's the really tough question about it. Are you willing to do it, to listen to what the Spirit might be saying to you and then to obey? So here's a couple of questions to think about as you consider missional living. I mean, do you really want to be a part of Go in all of your life? Not just sending other people out and saying, oh, that's their job. I've done my part by just sending, but actually finding ways to go and to be missional in every aspect of your life. But the sending too and the supporting, that's important as well. So how are you helping to support and to send workers into the field? Listen, we had Faith Promise and we've made our commitments to that, but just because we had kind of our main commitment time toward the end of last year doesn't mean you can't start again until that comes back later this year. We can jump in anytime, just dive right into supporting and sending missionaries. And that's not just about writing a check every week or month or whatever the Lord may lay on your heart. That's call them. Just get their newsletter. Send them an email just so you can be caring about them and praying for them as well. One thing I'll tell you as it comes to giving to missionaries, to supporting what the laborers Christ has sent into the field are doing. There have been times in my life when we have been almost just kind of dirt poor, barely knowing where you know, the next funding for everything's going to come from. And even in those times, there has never been a time that I have regretted giving. I have regretted all kinds of purchases. Giving has never been one of them. And so just ask what the Lord would have you do. I'm reminded about what Jim Elliot said. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And every time I read that quote, I am extremely convicted. I'm not intending to pressure anybody into going or to supporting. And the going in particular, as far as going out into the world, that's not something that's necessarily for everyone. So I just ask the question, is the Lord calling you, though, to go vocationally? And that can be a really scary question because we fear giving up those things that we're comfortable with. And I go back to what Jim Elliot said, that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And again, not everybody's called to that vocation, but some are called to do exactly what you're doing right now, just doing it in a missional way. But there are several of you that probably have started to already feel that kind of what Judith has called the Holy Spirit poke, or the Spirit working on your heart about going. So I just ask that you would ask God what he's got for you. So my challenge for you for this week is simply to take some time alone this week to evaluate your spiritual impact in ordinary life. How are you being missional already? Are there any ways that your lifestyle, the way that you live in front of other people, are hindering the gospel? That's a tough one. What opportunities are there that you've never even thought of. Maybe you are in a model playing club. I know a guy that's connected to our school and to some families here who is starting a drone teaching organization, so teaching how to fly drones. My mom got me one for Christmas. I can't keep the thing going straight, so I may need to hop into that. But those things are great opportunities to go and to reach other people. What are you already doing that could be that opportunity? But don't enter into this time of reflection this week without prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to give you His eyes into your daily life, because we get so blinded to the opportunities that are there all the time. So ask the Spirit to reveal that to you. Because God has placed a missional call on every one of your lives. Not necessarily to go overseas, but in what we do every day. And we're going to be standing up here today, and you can use those plug-in cards to ask for prayer about these things. You can stop by the office. But even right now, in just a second as we sing, we're going to have people standing up here in the corners of the balcony to pray with you about how the Lord may want to send you missionally, whether it's a vocational thing or just in what you're doing right now. But the first step for anybody in accepting that mission to go is to enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that idea that you were created for mission, that the Lord desires to use you and has a plan for you, maybe that's something that's enticing to you because you finally are beginning to understand what it is that you are meant for. And we're here to help you enter into that relationship, to tell you how to enter into that relationship with Jesus who calls you into that mission. And again, we're here to talk to you right now. I just ask that as we sing, I'm going to pray in a second and we'll sing. Just take a step out and come and talk to us. Pray with us. Pray up here on your own or where you're seated, whatever the Lord would call you to do about how you can engage in the mission that He has for your life. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful and also scared to be called into missional living like this because it is different than what the world tells us. So I pray that your Spirit this week would lead each one of us and to understanding how we can go in every part of life. And God, I pray that your Spirit would empower us, would take away fear, and give us opportunities this week to see how you desire to use us. And God, I pray that you would do things beyond what we ever imagined, and that you would receive the praise and the glory as we go and as we send and support. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Grace, it is time to give. And it's an interesting thing to talk about giving as we talk about missional living, because that is really giving all of life. And visitors, all we're asking from you is that info card so we can reach out to you, let you know a little bit more about us and say thanks for coming. But for the rest of you, of course, it's a time to give of tithes and offerings, but also a time to offer our lives. And maybe you weren't up for coming up here to pray about a calling the Lord may have placed on your life or a need that's there, or even just coming to know the Lord. And there's a spot on that info card and plug-in card that you can mark if you want to know more about trusting in Christ for salvation and even what that phrase means. Or if you can write on there anything that you may need prayer for or that the Lord may be doing in your heart so we can be able to pray for you and with you. So just drop those into the offering plate as they come by. Let me pray and we will continue in worship through giving. The men can come forward. Father, we do thank you that we have an opportunity to give, not just of the resources, the financial resources that you've given us, but every part of life. So I pray, Lord, that you would lay on us that desire to give and show us how we are called to give to you. God, may you be praised through these tithes and offerings that we give back that are all yours anyway. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this evening, Grace, it is, as we showed you the little kind of role play up here today. Tonight is the Super Bowl, and we don't have any service in here. The youth are going to have some things going on in the back of the brick room, and I know they've already got some folks invited, many of them, and I'm sure that many won't know the Lord, so we're excited about that. I know a lot of you guys are going to either your Grace groups or other people's houses in the neighborhood or coworkers. Tonight is an incredible natural go opportunity. Please don't let that go to waste. And I do pray and I hope that all of you walk away from here knowing more today about what it means when I say, Grace, it's time to go.